Let's turn then to Colossians, where we read together. Colossians chapter 3. Continuing just at this lifeline study, looking through the different ages and stages of human life. And really want to focus on young adulthood this morning. And we saw last time that it is a time of beginning to really take responsibility and to make choices. And some of the key areas that we have to take responsibility in and make choices about are the areas of relationship and family and work. And these are areas which Paul covers in what he says in what we read together from Colossians 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, beginning of chapter 4. Verse 17 of Colossians 3, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, in our society today, it's probably true that just about anything goes. That people select all kinds of different ways of living their lives and all kinds of different lifestyles, all kinds of different arrangements of units that live together, what we might call family, but very exotic and different arrangements to what there have been in the past. And people are generally not sure why they should do things one way or not another, and they lack a sense of guidance, a sense of clarity. If you take soundings from people in our society today, you would find that for many people there aren't really too many rules about how they conduct themselves, particularly with regard to family, with regard to relationships, with regard to even things like work. And maybe it was something like that in the city that Paul's writing to here, in Colossae as well, where in the Roman world, the Greek world, people had all kinds of different ways of living and all kinds of different sources of guidance for their lives. There were many different gods, many different religions, and many different standards by which people lived. And there was a lot of confusion. Anything went. And if you want to follow Jesus in a context like that, whether in the first century in Colossae or whether today in Chios, you're taking a different route to society and you're taking a different route to many people around you. If you want to try and follow Jesus and do things the way God intended, then you're going to face some real challenges. If you, for example, follow the teaching of the Bible, you believe that in relationships you take them seriously and you're seeking someone whom you're going to be connected to in marriage for life, and that you're going to marry someone of the opposite sex, and that if you're the woman, you're going to respect your husband, and the word, verse 18, the word submit, is used there. To the husband, though, who is going to, in verse 19, love his wife with the love of Christ, a sacrificial love. And that if you're a child, you're going to obey your parents. And if you're a parent, you're going to set standards for your children that may not be the standards by which the kids around you are living by. That if you're a father, as verse 21 says, you're going to encourage your children. And if you're a slave, now remember when we studied a few months ago in 1 Peter, we looked at slavery in a bit of detail and we realized that slavery was not at all like the sort of plantation slavery of the deep south of America. It wasn't at all like that kind of brutal and exploitative thing. But it was really more like today's employer-employee relationships. And we must understand that when we read this word slave and master in this context. So if you're an employee, equivalent to slave there in verse 22, that you are going to obey your bosses, and that you're going to do your best for those for whom you work. And that if you are a master, if you're an employer, verse 1 of chapter 4 says, you're going to treat your employees fairly, you're going to pay them fairly, and so on. And all of these things actually are quite different often to the way people do things in society. And because of that, they're countercultural. If you're really going to live by the teachings of Jesus, you're going to stand apart from many people in society for whom anything goes. Any arrangement that suits them at the time is the arrangement that they'll have. But you're trying to live by particular guidance, particular teaching. And it's not going to fit in with the culture at times. In fact, it's going to attract hostility, even ridicule. It's going to be challenging. This teaching here is a challenging teaching for us. It's a challenging teaching for us also to bring out to our community and to seek to attract other people too. It's challenging, for example, just to take one example, verse 19, for the husband to love their wives. Now, remember how Paul puts it in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The pattern for the husband is Jesus sacrificing his life for the church. That's a challenging pattern for a husband to live by, so that she in turn, the wife, is happy to follow his lead because she sees his love. It's challenging for parents to bring up their children, as verse 21 says, not embittering them or discouraging them, but to bring them up, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, in the nurture and discipline of the Lord Jesus, so that they delight in their parents and delight to obey their parents. It's challenging for employers. It's surrounded by demanding legislation and the pressures of trying to satisfy shareholders or to make profits, to develop their business, to treat their employers well, to treat them with care, verse 1 of chapter 4, to provide them what is right and fair, so that their employees respond with honest and loyal work. But that's what Jesus is telling us this morning. He's telling us that when we come into this adult world of relationships, marriage perhaps, family perhaps, employing or being an employee, we're being challenged to a lifestyle that sets us apart. But what has been taught here in the words we've read is clear. And so I could stop the sermon at this point and say, right, go and get on with it. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't embitter your children. Bring them up in the training of the Lord. Employees, obey your masters, your employers. Employers, provide your employees with what is right and fair. It's quite straightforward. It's countercultural. It sets us apart. But it's quite straightforward. It's quite plain. But if I stop at this point, I'll be missing something that's woven into the very fabric of this passage we just read. If I just say, right, go and do these things, what I'm actually basically doing is telling you to go and just try your best to meet a high ideal that will just become a burden to you and will just become like legalism, it will just become like a drudgery, just like an empty duty. Because there's something that is in this passage that we completely have ignored up to this point that is essential to what I'm saying. But let me take a wee step back first. We talked about heroes and the children we're in. Who do you admire? Who do you admire most? I mean, everyone has someone that they look up to. Everyone has someone that they want to be like, that they want to be with, whom they want to please. Who's that person for you? When I was preparing this, I remembered way back when I was in primary 7 in Alness. And there was a boy in my class called Ronald. And Ronald was a tremendous fan of the television programme Happy Days, which some of you all know. Some of you maybe don't know. I don't know if it's repeated these days, but anyway, Happy Days. And of course, the kind of heroic figure in Happy Days was the Fonz. So every morning we would come into class, and Ronald would come into the class and go, "Hey!" Every morning. It was just such a fixture. And the whole day, through the day, he'd be trying to sort of strike a pose like the Fonz. And he was just absolutely besotted by the Fonz. The Fonz was his total hero. He just worshipped this guy, the Fonz. And he fancied himself that he was going to be a modern-day Fonzie in Alness in the 1970s. We all thought it was great. We all thought it was very funny. I don't know what Ronald's doing now. I've lost touch with him. But there's no doubt about this. The Fonz was his hero. But we do that, not just in primary school, we do it in secondary school. And we do it when we grow up. We maybe make it a bit less ridiculous or overt, but we all still have our heroes. We're all still patterning ourselves after other people. We're all still looking around and saying, "What does he do?" Or "What's she like?" And taking our cue from that. Very, very few are the people who are so absolutely confident, like the Fonz was, that they don't need to take their lead from anyone else because they think they are actually the coolest person and no one else has got anything to teach them about being cool. Just about all of us, we're looking around. In any social situation, we find the person who's perhaps the kind of most confident personality in the room, we take our cue from them. On the sports field, at work as well, in our families, any gathering, we're always looking around to see who's the person that can show us how do we behave, what should we be like. There's people we admire. So who's your Fonz? Now, I said this to the children, and I really meant it. If you're a Christian, there really can only be one hero who is set above everyone else. One role model. Because you're not a disciple of Jesus if anyone else comes before him. He's the one that we have to admire. And he's the one we want to be with. And he's the one we want to please. And in that light, we conduct ourselves in our relationships and in our workplace and in our families. It's because of what he is that we seek to be what we are. Did you notice something as you read through this passage that really, really struck me as I was reading over and over and thinking about it when I was preparing? It's that everything that Paul says here is referred to Jesus. Look, verse 17, let's just go through it. Verse 17. Whatever you do on Monday morning, whatever you do on Wednesday afternoon, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's your starting point. This is what a Christian is. Someone who's living under the name of Jesus. Okay, so wives, here's how you behave, says Paul. Here's how you live, as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 18, as is fitting in Jesus. It's about your relationship with Jesus. That's what determines how you relate to your husband. Same with your husbands. Now, Paul doesn't say it in this verse, but in the equivalent verse in Ephesians, where there's a very similar section, he says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So it's about how Jesus behaved that determines how husbands behave. If you're a Christian husband, you take your cue from Jesus. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Here's how you should behave, children, because it's what Jesus wants you to do. See, everything's been referred to Jesus. Fathers, verse 21, do not embitter your children. Now again, in the equivalent verse in Ephesians, it says, but bring up your children in the nurture and training of the Lord. It's about Jesus. How do you live as a parent? Well, you refer to Jesus. It's about your relationship with Him. That determines your relationship with your children. And then, slaves or employees, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you to win their fear, but with a sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So how do you do your job? Well, it's about your relationship with Jesus, first of all. Your relationship with Jesus means that you want to be the most conscientious, the most helpful employee. You want to give the employer the most value for money. And it's your relationship with Jesus that determines that. And so verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Wait a minute. Think of Jesus as being an employer. Think that you were actually doing the service for Jesus. It's about your relationship with Jesus. Verse 24, you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Your future is determined by Jesus. His reward to you is something that should determine how you live now in your workplace. Says Paul, it's the Lord Christ you're serving, he continues in verse 24. And Jesus will repay those who do wrong as well. So don't forget that. In verse 1 of chapter 4, employees, Christian employees now he's addressing. Provide your slaves, your employees with what is right and fair, because you know you also have a master in heaven. Employers, if you're an employer here, you've got a master in heaven. So, if you want him to treat you well, you better treat your own employees well. So, the way that you behave as an employer is determined by your relationship with Jesus. So, the whole of adult life in relation to these big areas of relationships and marriage and family and work, says Paul, should be determined by your relationship with Jesus. You know, that's what comes first. So what you're doing is saying, well, what is right before Jesus? What is there that I admire in Jesus that will help me in this situation? What is there that Jesus is going to do that will determine how I behave now in this situation? That's the sort of thing. You want to admire Him. You want to devote yourself to Him. You want to follow Him. You want to be close to Him. You want to be like Him. And so that determines your marriage. And that determines how you live as a husband or as a wife or as a child or as an adult. a parent, or as an employee, or as an employer. It's about Jesus. This is really the essential thing. So if I want to know anything about, well, how do I behave in this situation? What's my attitude to be to my wife? What's my attitude to be to my employer? First of all, I say, well, what is my relationship with Jesus in this situation? What does Jesus want of me in this situation? Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to tell me who I should marry, or who I should work for, what my career should be. Although there are certainly some things Jesus certainly tells us not to do. And in the modern context, don't marry someone who doesn't share your faith, who doesn't share your relationship with Jesus. That's something that's plain in the Bible. Don't marry someone of the same sex. These things are pretty basic in Jesus' teaching. And in your work, there are certain kinds of work. Like, don't work as a career criminal. That's pretty basic. I got a friend who, a couple of years ago, was delighted to land her first job in Glasgow. Christian girl. And she just moved down to Glasgow. It was a job in tele sales, and she was very pleased. And all was going fine until the job that she was given was to sell tickets to a lap dancing club. She said to her employer, "I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, I can't do that." She lost her job. But she knew that her relationship with Jesus was more important than anything that her employer might ask of her. So it's not anything goes. It's a challenging lifestyle to live as a Christian in relationship to Jesus. But we're not doing it so we'll be awkward. We're not doing it so we'll be weird or so we'll be miserable. We're seeking to live this way so that we can live close to the Lord Jesus, so that we can hold our head high before Him, and so that we can hold our head high in heaven as well when we're with Him finally. He's the foundation of all that we do. And in our society today, all that's been forgotten. And that's why society is just all over the place. And so today, if you come and say, "Well, the Bible says that you employees, you've got to pay your employees fairly," or "Children, you've got to obey your parents," or "Husbands, you've got to love your wives sacrificially," people will say, "Well, why should I do that? I fancy doing it some other way." Because people don't have a foundation. They don't have a relationship with Jesus in any sense. Not even culturally. Not even in a second-hand way. Mediated perhaps through parents who believed. They're just totally detached from that. And because of that, anything goes. So what do we do as Christians? We can let that wear us down. And it often does. Many Christians, they go out as adults into society with the upbringing they've had and with the Christian input that they've had to their lives, and they take a stand, but then they begin to get worn down. Or they don't take a stand, which is worse. And, if you go into a new situation, particularly in this sphere of work, let them know you're a Christian straight away. But people often, they don't do that, and they get worn down. And through the course of things like dating and marrying and having family and working, they lose their spiritual edge because they let the people around them determine how they should live. And that happens unless we concentrate on building carefully on the foundation of Jesus. It's a relationship with Him that will determine how we live. And if a relationship with Him is something we're neglecting, then how we live will become very much the way that society lives. And we'll drift with society, we'll be lost with society, and we'll be condemned with society. So, read this passage again. Grasp what it's saying. You know, it's not just about some directions for how to live your life in marriage or family or work. It's about your relationship with Jesus and how that determines your life. That's the thing that's woven through everything in the passage. In the evenings just now, we're looking at the theme of how to read the Bible and how to pray, how to grow as Christians. We're looking at it very practically. Tonight we'll be looking at it really practically. How do you read a Bible? And these are the essential things, you know, just like the disciplines of the Christian life. It's not just coming to church. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing tomorrow to make sure you're still growing in your relationship with Jesus? What are you going to be doing on Tuesday morning? What are you going to be doing that will help you grow as a Christian? So that your relationship with Jesus is paramount. And it determines all your other relationships. And so that when the pressures of society come upon you, you do not buckle and bend and become just like everyone else in society. For if the salt loses its saltiness, Jesus says, it's fit only to be thrown out onto the rubbish heap. It's a relationship with Jesus that we need to focus on, and let that determine everything else in our lives. And that is one of the big challenges which we all face as adults, and which really comes home when we enter into young adulthood and move out from the cocoon of home into the challenging sphere of work and relationships, marriage and family, and negotiating all the complexities of life. May God help each one of us to stay close to Jesus so that we can live distinctively for Jesus in our society. Amen.